Good evening, everyone. I'm probably not going to do a lot of moving around tonight because I'm going to keep myself close to the microphones so that you can hear me. For some reason, this afternoon, my voice has decided to go somewhere and hide from me. So I'm going to stay with the wireless mic here, and in case it goes out, I'm going to stay in front of this one in case just to be safe, and that way we'll make sure we get a recording this evening. It is good to be with you. I appreciate the presence of each and every one of you. The fact that you are here again this Lord's Day evening is to be commended. But more than anything else, the commendation is for your faith and your desire to worship and serve God. And so I'm grateful for that. The scripture reading that was just read a little while ago tells us of the Apostle Paul before he actually heads off to Rome. He has appealed to Caesar. He's been standing before two men. And normally, Festus and Agrippa, when you read a text like this, the lesson is about them. And tonight's lesson is not about Festus and Agrippa. It's about Paul. It's about something that he says within the context of this that just has stood out to me for a long time. And it's something that I believe that as children of God that we should be trying to imitate. I think about the Apostle Paul and the defense that he's made before Agrippa, the fact that he stands there and gives an account of his conversion prior to the things that are said in our text. And think about this, and here Festus said, "You are beside yourself, much learning has made you mad." And then at that point, Paul turns it to Agrippa and says, "I'm convinced that none of these things escaped his attention. They weren't done in secret. They weren't done in a corner. Everything that he talked about concerning Christ and the life of Christ up to that point, he said, I know that you're aware of all of it." But generally, when we look at this particular text, we think about the words of Agrippa. "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian." Well, clearly Paul's desire was that Festus and Agrippa and everybody else in that room that heard what he said, his testimony, he would have loved for them to have been converted on that day, to have been baptized for the remission of their sins. But Paul then makes a statement, and he says, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." And it is that phrase, "such as I am," that gives us the title for our lesson this evening. And I think about the Apostle Paul and the areas in life that we might be able to be like him. Because that phrase, "such as I am," he said that he wishes they could be just like him in every way except his chains. Which means that Paul had gone through a transformation period in his own life. Which means that Paul went from being what he considered and what he told Timothy of being the chief of sinners to an apostle of Jesus Christ. One who went out and proclaimed the name of Jesus everywhere he went. So Paul had been baptized into Christ. That's what he wished that they had had. And as a Christian, he wanted others to be like him. They wanted them to do the same thing. But this appeal to become such as I am, I think, involves more than simply being baptized. Because I think in our own lives, when we came up out of that watery grave and we're experiencing that newness of life, many of us had a zeal that would have been very similar to the Apostle Paul. But over the years, we may not be saying the same thing that Paul did. If you remember the Apostle Paul, when he came to the church at Corinth, or wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, didn't say that he wished that they would be such as I am, but he said this, "Be imitators of me as I also am of Christ. And so that's important for us this evening to think of these things. And I want us to discuss three ways in which we can be such as Paul this evening, and I want us to consider that. And we can imitate Paul, first of all, in attitude. How do you handle adversity? Well, that's an excellent question, and one that you think about. Paul handles adversity by preaching Jesus Christ. I know that sports teams and coaches, and I remember my youngest son, when he played City League football, the coach told him, he said, how you as a team handle adversity will determine your success on the field. Well, the same thing can be true, I think, of us as children of God and how we handle adversity in our lives. How we handle it as we face it, when it comes our way, and when we work through it, will somewhat determine our success of being like Paul. Will determine our success of being a child of God. So being a Christian is to be more treasured, I believe, than anything that we have. Every blessing that we might have physically, to think that we are children of God. And listening to John and what he said there, behold what manner of love the Father bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, is something that's amazing, is something that should be desired by every one of us. And because of that, because we are his children, if we are like Paul, we're doing what Jesus commanded in the Sermon on the Mount, seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, consider that for just a moment. Our treasure is laid up where? Well, I believe Paul realized that his treasure was laid up in heaven, because Paul said to the church in one of his epistles, that he was not, our citizenship is not here, but it's in heaven. He understood where he truly desired to be. And he lived a way in such that he could attain that goal. Our treasure then, like Jesus was said in Matthew chapter 6, should not be here where moth and rust destroy. It should not be here where thieves break in and steal. But our true treasure should be in heaven, where those things do not exist. And the Apostle Paul had his goals set on that. His attitude was that way. You think about spiritual mindedness. We can be spiritually minded like the Apostle Paul. How do I do that? Well, I think when I think about spiritual mindedness, it is that which allows me to grow stronger on a daily basis. It allows all of us to grow stronger. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 14, he said, therefore, do not lose heart. And I have that underlined on the screen for you to look at this evening. And that emphasis right there. Do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's actually 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul's attitude is keeping his eyes fixed on heaven. He looked toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul's focus, our focus, should be on God. Should be on the things eternal. And so when I think about attitude, our attitude should always be looking forward and upward. We should not be looking behind us. We should not be so overwhelmed by adversity that we cannot move forward in our lives as children of God. There is something to be said. It was someone else, I think, that wrote a book on the power of positive thinking. Okay. But think about that. The power of positive thinking. That's what Paul is invoking in his own life as a child of God. You think about his attitude. It would have been so easy for him to give up. When he talked about how the outward man is perishing, he was stoned and left for dead. You would think that he would have given up after something like that, but he continued pressing forward. His attitude was such that I live for Christ. But you also can imitate Paul in purpose or goal or aim. And you think about this, his his primary goal was to be pleasing to God. We make that our primary goal, and we think about that and say things like this, maybe not exactly the way Paul says it to the church at Corinth, but he said, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to God. Whether we are with one another or whether we are absent from one another, that should also be our goal. Our influence in the world depends upon the fact that we be pleasing to God. And so he says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He understood that in his life. He knew what he was longing for. He knew that it was better for him to be around for a while. But Paul knew that to depart and be with Christ is far better. Verse 23 of that same chapter. But even though he may have struggled with his desire, or maybe his focus was not here on earth, he focused on eternal life, the life to come. And because of that, he said that while I'm here, even in the face of adversity. Now remember, Paul said to Agrippa and Festus that he wished that every one of them could be such as he is except for these chains. That requires some determination, that requires some focus on his part. It requires the same thing from us. When we're living our daily lives, whether things go bad on the job, whether someone is bullying you at school, whether you have a professor in college that is mistreating you because you are a, quote, Christian, and he's not. It doesn't matter where you are, who you're with, the circumstances surrounding you. If you have the same goals and same goal and purpose as Paul, you'll know that moving forward is important. Knowing that he must do what he must do while he is here in this earthly tent. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And you think about that for just a moment, the terror of the Lord. What is he talking about? Well, we think about entering into the joy of our Lord. We think about entering into an eternal rest with our Lord. There's joy there. We're going to experience those who are faithful receiving that crown of life. We think about eternity. But while you're here, if you're not living faithfully, there is a fear of God that should be in every man. Because there will be punishment. Remember this morning I said God was good. I mentioned that God was good and God was just. Part of the justness of God is the punishment of those who are disobedient to his gospel. You see, the Apostle Paul knew that it was important then, because of those things, it was important for him to persuade men. What did he do? Well, in Acts chapter 9, verses 20 through 31, he started persuading men just shortly after he had been converted himself. In Acts chapter 16, he persuaded a Philippian jailer not to take his life, but for he and his household to all be obedient to Christ. In his defense at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 22, before a hostile audience, he proclaimed Christ. In his defense before Felix in Acts chapter 24, he repeated those claims of Christ. And here in his defense before King Agrippa and Festus, beginning in Acts chapter 25 and verse 22 and going through verse 32 of our text this evening, he felt it was important to persuade men. And his desire was for them to be like him, except for his chains. But the reason I believe that Paul persuaded men was he knew the value of the soul. And he could have just as easily thrown up his hands and said, you know, I know these men aren't going to pay attention to this. They're not going to believe what I'm going to say. But you know what? It didn't deter him. He went ahead and said it anyway. He preached truth to them. He preached about a Savior. It didn't stop him. It did not deter him in any way. And we need then to persuade men also. You think about who he's talking to in our text here. Two political leaders, one Roman and one Jew. And you think about the influence that they could have had they been obedient to the gospel themselves. But one tells Paul he's crazy. And the other one says, you almost got me, but not quite. And Paul said, I just know that you know what happened is true. And therefore, I wish you were like me. Not in these chains. And the only way that they could have been like him would have been an individual that knew that he was saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ and through obedience to him. We need to be persuaded, but we might make excuses, but no one is interested. Well, then what do? We find someone that's interested. Just because one person isn't interested doesn't mean the next person won't be. Just because that next person might not be interested doesn't mean somewhere down the line we're not going to find someone who is interested and has a desire and is groping for the truth. You see, Paul, didn't matter who the audience was, whether they were hostile or whether they were in agreement, he still preached the truth. We might say that, well, we need to have a personal work class to be able to do this. Might I make a suggestion every time that we come together, when we worship God together, it is a personal work class. Because we are opening our Bibles together. We are talking about the foundations of our faith together. We are revealing those things to ourselves so that we should be able to go out and share that with others. This Bible class that we started on Sunday mornings, the chronological study of the life of Christ, that's a personal evangelism class, whether we realize it or not. Now, what some people will say about that, I want to address it this way. Well, we need to be taught how to teach. Well, we're not inspired people like the Apostle Paul. I understand that. But if you've got something to say and you have something of value to say, you'll say it. I listened, and I'm guilty of doing this just as much as anybody else, some of the conversations that we have before services start. We'll talk about college basketball, college football. We'll talk about those things that have an importance to us. I'll bet you we can talk to our friends about those very same things, can't we? We can talk to others about them because they hold value to us. The gospel should be just even easier to talk about than those things. The Apostle Paul, he's in chains. He's standing before people who can condemn him and put him to death. And even though they say he's not worthy of death, and that if he'd been set free had he not appealed to Caesar, Paul continued to preach. He continued to preach when he was without food. He continued to preach when he was shipwrecked. He continued to preach through his adversity because he had this purpose in mind. That the gospel that he was set apart to preach, he would preach it. We need to remember the value of the soul ourselves. That the fate of the sinner hangs in the balance of whether or not they have heard the gospel and whether they not have been given the opportunity to respond to it. We need to be committed to persuading men, because preaching Christ to a lost and dying world, no matter where we are and who it is, there is a personal cost to it. Eternal life or eternal condemnation. There's something there to be thinking about, because Paul had a purpose. And we also need to be motivated or, you know, imitate Paul in action. As I've already stated very early, how can I persuade others to be such as I am if I'm not what I should be? Now, think about that for just a second. Paul told Timothy that he was the chief of sinners. Yet, he had been set apart for the gospel to preach it, to dignitaries, to Jews, to Gentiles. Yes, he was going to see Caesar. And he was going to proclaim the name above all names. And Paul would die and go to be with the Lord one day, a martyr's death. But it didn't stop him. Not only in purpose, but also in action. It's one of those things. We say, well, we need to do this. We need to do that. We need to do this over here. We need to do this. Okay. The time for talk is, it's time to stop. It's time to say, I need to do this or I need to do that. It's time to put it into action, isn't it? Have I removed the beam from my own eye before trying to remove that speck from someone else's eye if I'm not what I should be? The Apostle Paul had done that. He had been a persecutor of Christians. He had been trying to destroy the church. And he had been converted. He removed the biggest beam in his life and lived a life that was worthy of imitation. Am I consistent in my teaching, or am I like the lawyers of Luke chapter 11 and verse 46? Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourself do not even touch the burdens with one of your own fingers. Now, it's one thing to teach the truth. It's another thing to practice what you preach. And that's what that verse is telling us. So I must be an imitator of Paul. To be such as he is, I must be an imitator of Paul. Just like he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 15. The imitators imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, brethren, join in following my example. If we're going to use our influence, if we're going to be salt and light in the world like the Apostle Paul was, then we need to be making sure that we are such as we should be, so that we can be such as he was. The things which you have learned and received and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. You see what takes place in Paul's life? He just doesn't say things. He is a doer of the word. And so when we imitate Paul in action, we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. That's what we're told in James chapter 1, isn't it? James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Because it's real easy for us to have someone tell us what we need to do, how to do it. But it's another thing for us to get out and do it, isn't it? I grew up at the feet of hearing men like Robert Welch and Claude Wilsford preach as a child. When I was a child, not when they were children. But I listened to them growing up, and I remember Claude Wilsford would after services there at Silver Street in New Albany, Indiana, would race us around the church building, the kids that were out there. But you know what? I appreciated his life as a child of God, as a preacher of the gospel more, not because he raced us around the church building, because he had a desire to teach the truth. Because he had a desire to see people converted to the gospel, that which had the power to save their souls. He gave me a desire one day, and I don't think I've even filled one of his shoes, but to be like him. He's no longer with us in this life, but to be like him in this life means that I have an opportunity to see him in the next life, in eternal life. Be doers of the word. Practice what we preach. We must walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And even in this world, in this physical world, we must make the attempt to live where God lives, be where He is all the time. That guarantees our fellowship with Him, our communion with Him. And at the same time, it does the same thing for our fellowship with one another. We must long then for that pure milk of the Word that allows us to grow. And not only just for that pure milk of the Word, the strong meat of the Word, and then do what Peter says at the end of his second epistle, continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior every day. When we do those things, we will be such as Paul is. When we do those things, we will be faithful in this life so that we can live eternally with God. We will be faithful in this life and share a gospel message with those who are of a lost and dying world. We think about all of the horrible things that go on in our culture, around the world. There are people that need saving. And the only thing that will truly save them today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be such as Paul is. You don't live in fear. You keep moving forward. You keep pressing forward to that goal of that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so, in longing for those things, as Christians, we are not only imitators, but we're also to be examples. I think about that in those terms right there, and think about how Jesus Christ talked about it being salt and light in the world. There's an influence that is supposed to be there. And we can imitate Paul. We can be such as he is if we truly decide to imitate Jesus Christ in our lives as well. We must be willing. Be willing to invite others here. I want to say this. Inviting others is great. But you must get to a point in your own lives where you're not just inviting someone to come to church with you, but you're inviting them to sit down with you and open your Bibles together. That's when you will truly be such as Paul was. When you're willing to share Christ yourself, not ask someone else to come. You're willing to share it because he's that important to you. And then you can say, we must be willing to invite others then to be such as I am. But what that requires from each one of us is to make sure that we are living a life that is pleasing to God. Remember Paul's aim in life, whether present or separated from his brethren. His goal was to be pleasing to God. And that should be ours also. Take out your songbooks. I believe that once we can attain this type of spiritual maturity in our own lives, like the Apostle Paul had, that what it does for us is it frees us. We're not afraid of who we're going to talk to. We're not afraid of what's going to happen to us if somebody says no. Because if you look at the Apostle Paul, what was the worst thing that was going to happen to him on that particular day? Because Agrippa wasn't going to put him to death. Festus wasn't going to put him to death. The worst answer he got there that day was, "Oh, you're crazy." Or, "Not only almost persuaded." You're going to receive answers like that when you reach out to you want to influence with the gospel. More importantly than anything else, if it has that much value to you, share it. Because that's what Paul. The invitation song that we're about to sing, number 330, says it just a little bit differently than Paul did, "Just as I am." But that's in response to how you come to Christ.
right now. He's going to take you the way you are right now. But here's the thing. One thing that I'm not really completely sure that this song fully elaborates on is you can't stay there. Transformation has to take place. Change must take place for true reconciliation. For that cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ to have this proper effect in your life, for it to be able to make you white as snow, to make you bring you into full fellowship with God, then you have to leave the past where it is. Because that's what Paul did. He may have been the chief of sinners before he was converted, but afterward he wasn't. That's the power of the gospel. That's what the power of God's word can do in an individual's life. It can truly transform. If you want to experience that transforming power of God's word this evening, as an unbeliever, then that opportunity is yours. But as an erring believer, you can also reconcile your life because there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ that can still forgive you of your trespasses today. Confessing to him, he will forgive you. If you need prayers and encouragement, we stand ready to assist you to see him as well. If you want to be such as Paul was, once you respond to the gospel, invitation to see him, stay the same as we say.